In your face.
I am thrilled to have Josh Sanders back in the studio to talk about Smoke and Mirrors' production of Dial In for Murder. You're the producer. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, James. Always a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about this production, because it's been 5 years in the making and it's a classic.
Yeah, it has been 5 years in the making, which drives me wild that it's been that long. But yeah, so we were a week into rehearsals. We were supposed to open in, I think it was March 23rd, 2020. And of course, lockdowns hit just about a week before we were supposed to open. And so we had to pack away all the set and all the costumes into storage. And it's just been laying dormant for 5 years. And then suddenly the stars have aligned and we're here doing this amazing show again.
I mean, it was written over 70 years ago.
Yeah, it's such an old work, but It's one of those works that's sadly as relevant today as it was back then. It's got really strong themes of domestic violence and violence against women. And that was one of the reasons that we were really passionate about doing the work, because unfortunately these are things that are still so prevalent today and that we need to be talking about. So our director, Dean Dreeberg, has come up with a really clever concept, which I won't give too much away, but it's designed to kind of point to that idea that, you know, even though it was written in the 1950s, it's still as relevant today as it was back then.
What's it like for you being the producer and not being on the stage?
This is a new experience for me, because normally I'm, you know, a man of all of the hats. Normally I produce and perform and do kind of a bit of everything. This is the first time I'm just sitting back and just producing. So we've got such an amazing team. You know, I've got a director, associate director, we've got designers. And, you know, I'm kind of just get to sit back and watch it all happen. And it's been an absolute joy, because I feel like I've assembled a team of just the most incredibly talented people, and watching them do the things that they do best has been such a joy.
What's it like, though, you know, being in the wings, you know, being behind the curtain but not on the stage? Do you ever kind of just want to jump out there?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I'm sitting in rehearsal watching going, oh, I really want to do that, or I really want to say we should, you know, make a suggestion or whatever, and I've just got to sort of hold back. But I think, yeah, it's about having trust in the people that I've you know, given those jobs to, and I absolutely do have that trust because they all are so good at what they do. And to be honest, it's a bit of a relief for me, because normally at this point in the production, I am exhausted. So I'm kind of enjoying not being so busy with all the jobs.
As you said, it was written in the 1950s. How does it look? You know, how does it look in 2025? Like, how have you set up Dial In for Murder visually?
Without giving too much away, the aesthetic of the show that we're doing kind of spans 1950s all the way to today. So there's not even a single look that I could say the show fits into. There's kind of multiple different things that happen as the story unfolds.
Wow. Okay. But you've kept that 1950s kind of, you know, costume.
Yeah. So the show starts squarely in the 1950s, but yeah, it evolves and it changes as the story goes on. So yeah, if you're passionate about that 1950s aesthetic, it's definitely there. But yeah, you're also going to get a nice, pleasant surprise too as this story goes on.
And of course, you're the producer. That 1950s aesthetic and how it kind of, you know, blooms into you know, decades beyond that. That's kind of Josh Sanders, the performer. I mean, you love old Hollywood.
Do you know what's funny? Our set designer kind of put together her concept for the show and sort of said, oh, you know, these are the things that I'm thinking, and sent through a mood board and all these pictures. And I'm going, yep, I've got that table in my living room. I've got that couch in my living room. That's my dining table. So half of the set is made up of my own personal household, because 1950s is absolutely my aesthetic. So, yeah.
Wow. So you producing this Dial In for Murder, that is such a great progression for you, because it's you know, you love this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel really, and you know, it's based on the Hitchcock film, and you know, I'm a big fan of classic Hollywood, and I do love the films of Alfred Hitchcock. So yeah, between that 50s aesthetic and the Hitchcock connection, like, I really do feel a personal connection to this piece.
Were you surprised that you actually had most of the set in your lounge room?
Now that I look back, not really, because I feel like I live my life. My house is almost like a little 1950s microcosm, in, at least in terms of aesthetic. So looking back, I'm not surprised. But I think at the time I was kind of shocked and went, oh, actually, yeah, everything I own is, you know, 70 years old. So, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise.
So how is this really different to the original? Like, there must be some little kind of, you know, big differences.
Yeah. So one of the big differences is the soundtrack. So anyone who knows Hitchcock knows that music was really important in Hitchcock films. He had a really strong collaboration with Bernard Herrmann, who did the scores for Psycho and North by Northwest and Vertigo, some of the most iconic film scores that you'll ever hear. So we've kept that connection to music, but we've really updated and changed the style of the soundtrack. So it's almost like an 80s synth pop kind of soundtrack that plays throughout this piece. And yeah, that's also reflected in, as I said before, the way that the aesthetic of the piece changes as it goes on, which is absolutely something you wouldn't have seen in the original film.
So you, as the producer, you have the honor of kind of, you know, overseeing this musical score.
Yeah, yeah. It's and again, you know, it's not something that I've personally created. So I get these wonderful moments as the producer where, you know, the creatives involved go, here's what we've created. And I get this wonderful surprise of this amazing piece of art that they've created. And the soundtrack is one of those. So, yeah, it's amazing.
So are you kind of, you know, when you're like, you know, watching the rehearsals, is there stuff in this production that you've never seen before that you didn't intend but is just emerging?
Yeah, absolutely. There's pieces of, there's some stylized movement stuff that happens. You know, like it's, and I've written pieces of performance in the past and had them performed. And, you know, when you're a writer and you see what someone's done with the work that you've written, you often get that surprise of like, I pictured it this way in my head, but what I'm seeing is quite different. And I'm getting the same thing at the moment with this piece that I'm producing, where I've read the script and I've had kind of a rough idea of what I thought it might look like in my head, and what it is and what I'm seeing is quite different. And it is quite surprising, but it's also amazing, because there's so many things in there that I never would have thought of and are just so incredible. And so it's really a joyful surprise that I, you know, I'm surprised with these moments that are popping up in rehearsals.
Do you think this production is better because it did have those 5 years basically sitting in your drawer because COVID hit?
Yeah, I think so. There's a few key sort of differences that have happened in the 5 years. And, you know, we're so blessed. We have the same creative team now that we did when we initially did it. And I've had the pleasure of watching their careers blossom over the last 5 years, and, you know, they've only gotten better at what they do, which is amazing because they were incredible to start with. So, yeah, I think we absolutely have benefited from the extra time that we've been given.
Wow, so you've got a bit of extra star power out of these amazing performers because they've just gone whoosh.
Yeah, well, the cast is all new, but the creative team, so the director, associate director, the designer, all the same as last time, although we've had a couple of extra people come on board as well. But yeah, we've got a completely new cast as well.
Wow. So tell us a bit more about them.
I was so excited. We had almost 100 applicants for the show when we put out the casting brief. And I think we auditioned probably about 20 or 30 people. It was a big day. But the cast that we have been lucky enough to pick are just so talented and so good at what they do. And it's been really lovely for me as the producer to be able to watch them kind of grow into this really beautiful team. And, you know, they're forming these amazing professional relationships, and being able to sit back and watch that is really nice.
So which do you prefer, being an actor or a singer or a producer?
Oh, I don't know. Do I have to pick one? Yeah. I think I'll just do a little of column A, a little column B.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, variety is the spice of life, right? You know, I think, yeah, it's great to mix up mix up what you do. And I love wearing all different hats. And yeah, you know, the next thing that I'm doing after this will be me on stage. So it'll be quite different.
Oh, I have to ask about that. What will you be doing on stage?
Oh, I'm under embargo, so I can't really say, but I'll be doing a new show as part of Melbourne Fringe.
Oh.
Yeah, so that'll be at Chapel Off Chapel. I can't really say too much more, but yeah, that'll be October.
And is that Smoke and Mirrors Productions or is that something else?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it is.
So you're under an embargo, kind of imposed by yourself or by Fringe?
Oh, by Fringe. They've got their release date soon. So
oh, wow.
They'll be able to announce everything shortly.
So you are basically doing how many shows a year now?
Oh, I don't even count anymore.
Really?
I feel like I've always got a project on the go, even if it's not a show. So yeah, I lose track.
How do you manage all of that? Because you work in the arts as well. You've got your own production company. You just must be constantly doing stuff.
I feel quite exhausted most of the time. But I had this conversation with a friend recently, actually. And I was talking about how lucky I am to know what my passion is and to know what makes me come alive. Because I think some people struggle to find that in life. And for me, the performing arts is absolutely that. And I just have such a passion for it that it just drives me to want to do it all the time. And that's why I do.
So it's good exhaustion. It's not, oh my God, you know, I'm so tired. I can't really do anything, but I've got to.
No, it's great. And you know what? As soon as this show's finished, I'll go and sit on my couch for 10 minutes and try and rest, and I'll be as bored as anything. I'll go and write a show probably.
So you're basically thinking beyond Fringe. You're not just going, oh my God, I've got this show and I've got a Fringe show. You've probably got something else in the back of your head that you're working on subconsciously.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's always something on the back burner. And it's amazing how quickly time passes. And, you know, in theatre, you need to be thinking 12, 18 months, 24 months ahead because you've got to start the ball rolling early. There's so much that you've got to do.
Wow. Now, is it kind of, how does it affect you physically being a producer?
As I said before, this has been a very pleasurable experience for me because I haven't been quite as under the pump and exhausted as I am.
But there must be adrenaline.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly is. And I think as we get closer to the production, that'll definitely kick in. Like once we get into the theatre and we're building sets and we're getting all the sound and lighting up, like I think that adrenaline will really hit and we'll, you know, we'll do some long days, which is pretty normal for that point in the production. So yeah, I think it definitely will kick in.
Fantastic. Well, Dial M for Murder is happening August 7 to 16 at the wonderful Theatre Works in Ackland Street, St Kilda. Josh Sanders, the producer and, of course, the brains and the energy behind Smoke and Mirrors Productions, thank you so much for joining us today at 3CR.
Thanks for having me.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.